Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing this week?
I've been better, but thank goodness I'm good. And we're also joined by our barbecue and barefoot buddy in Florida. Hey, John, pull up a stool. How you doing?
All right, good, good. Happy to be here. Good to hear you. Good to hear your voice there, Doug.
Yeah, well, it was a touch and go for a little bit. I didn't think I was going to be on today, but thank goodness all the prayers and happy thoughts actually pulled me through this. I mean, the medication, guys, is the absolute worst. I wouldn't wish how I felt the last few days on anybody at all.
Yeah, knowing you for, you know, over 2 years now, I know how diligent you are about doing shows and stuff. And if you even have to delay a show for a couple hours, I know how it pains you. So you really must have been down and out there for, you know, to kind of push things off a bit. So that's unusual for you.
No, I'm just thankful we're here recording Sunday. We wanted to record earlier, but we're here. Me and Dennis is freezing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think high temperature today up here is 8 degrees, so that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, we were wind chills last night, like 15 below and crazy stuff like that. You know, it was like the news people were like going on for hours and hours of like it's apocalyptic or something coming here. You know, with the cold, and then John's enjoying 70-degree weather, right?
Man, it's about 72, 73, yeah, somewhere.
Get the AC going.
Yeah, just about.
You poor, poor baby you.
I know. It's pitiful.
But the good news is everything with the throat came back negative, so thank God I'm just healing now, moving forward, and we can do this crazy show and talk wonderful Disney for years to come, hopefully, Dan.
Yeah, right. No, it is great news that you're on the other side of this, and I know last week you were, you know, pretty tense, and rightfully so, going into what you went into, but, you know, like you said, everything came back good, and now you can put this in the rearview mirror and push forward. So that's great news.
Again, thanks, everybody, for your support and your texts and your emails and your direct messages. I really, really appreciate it. And now I get to do what I look forward to, talking Disney with my two buddies.
Sounds good.
So you ready to give out some news, Dan?
Yeah, absolutely.
One quick thing, everybody, before we get into the news, I apologize. Dennis is on call this weekend because of this crazy weather. So if you guys hear phone calls or interruptions, it's all part of the show. We planned it.
Right. We may hear some distraction, and I may have to hop off for a minute here and there, but the show will go on, and we'll just keep recording. So don't worry, folks, if it sounds a little less than a normal show, it's all good.
So, yeah, he's on 24-hour call, so there's no time we could have planned this to get away with it. So, Dan, how about you start us off with a little news now, buddy?
Absolutely. Let's see here. Operating hours of several Epcot attractions and shops to be reduced from this weekend. Let's see. I have a list here. Disney Pixar Short Film Festival. The recently opened attraction will close at 7 instead of its current 9 p.m. close. On extra magic hour nights, it'll close at 9 p.m. Journey into Imagination over in Future World will change from its current 9 p.m. close to a 7 p.m. close. Same thing, 9 on EMH nights. Disney's Phineas and Ferb Agent P's World Showcase Adventure will now close at 6 p.m. from its current 8:15 close. Living with the Land. The Living with the Land boat ride in the Land Pavilion will close at 7 p.m. daily, down from its 9 p.m. close. Mouse Gear currently operates from 8:45 a.m. to park close, but from Sunday, today, the 14th of February. The new hours will be 1 hour after park opening till park close. Therefore, on typical morning extra magic hour days, Mousecare will be open at 9 a.m., and on its regular days, it'll open at 10 a.m. What do you think's going on here, guys?
I mean, if I didn't know they were rebuilding 18 million parts in this park, I think they're getting ready to do something with the Future World and Epcot, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, what this means or how it ties into, you know, what they may be doing is unannounced at this point, but they're definitely manipulating the hours. I mean, especially Mousecare. I mean, that's been pretty consistent over the years. You know, you could count on it being open on your way out of the park and for a certain amount of time, but I don't know.
That's strange.
It's very strange. I mean, you can go eat at Sunshine Seasons for sure now because we just read last week that they're redoing the movie for the Circle of Life.
Oh, right. Nice.
Yeah, I read an article on that they're getting ready to redo that and shut that down. So the only thing going to be left in the Land Pavilion soon is going to be Living with the Lands.
Right. Yeah, just all by its lonesome.
Did you guys see, John, were you over at Sunshine Seasons on your last trip?
Yeah, we walked in there and looked at the lack of people down there eating. So, yeah, it's kind of noticeable.
Good place to eat now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot less, probably a good almost half of the crowd, you know, so
wow.
As opposed to what it is when Soren's there. So.
Yeah, because they announced at Circle of Life they're updating that movie finally. They're redoing something in there. I mean, they haven't announced totally what it's going to be, but it's going to be a pretty sizable closure on that, too, for a refurb.
Yeah, so. I mean, we talked about that many shows ago, but I mean, you know, that's kind of a hidden gem. It doesn't seem like much from the outside, but the last couple times I've gone on it, I came out of there thinking, wow, that wasn't too bad. I should have gone on this more over the years or enjoyed the movie more. It's a pretty good little story, and it's well done, so I'll be interested to see what the changes are that they're going to incorporate.
It's nice to take a load off, sit in the air, relax, and it also, especially when you're kids, every time we went down with kids we made sure we seen this movie.
Yeah.
You know, with my nieces, nephews, my godchildren and all, we made sure we definitely went in to see this because it is very informative.
Yeah, it's an educational movie, but, you know, it is, they do work some fun into it with the Lion King characters and stuff. So typical of what Disney does, they try to make it so it's as entertaining as can be, but it still has a good message. So that's great for that.
Yeah, don't plug up the dam.
Yeah, exactly.
But I wonder if they'll do anything with the land now.
Yeah.
Skippers.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good opportunity to do it, though, as they're going through this place. They might as well buff that up if they can.
Yeah, because I don't see... I mean, I like to go on that every trip. I mean, I know Brenda likes it, too, but I drag her. It isn't like she has to go on it. She'll do it for me because I'm just goofy.
Yeah.
But we all know that. But the point is, I would like to see them maybe do something to that to dress it up maybe a little bit more. Like John said, again, and we've preached on here a million times, bring back the Skippers.
That'd be great.
Just that would be make me happy. But, yeah, I mean, some of the, you know, the stage sets, you know, the audio animatronic, I mean, they're, you know, long in the tooth, as we say. They could definitely enhance them or maybe replace some of them. But, you know, that's at a substantial cost, so I get that. But, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing some of that. You know, as we saw with the new Mine Train, or the Mine Train, I guess it isn't new anymore, but, you know, they've come so far with the audio animatronics, I'm sure they could, you know, bring it up to speed as far as up to the 21st century anyways, you know.
I'm just curious what's going to happen, because if there was ever a time to refurb the entire building, because in my entire Disney lifetime, that building has never been closed. Has it ever been where you couldn't enter it in your lifetime going to Disney World? How about you, John?
I don't think so. I mean, unless they were, you know, long before they ever had Soarin' in there, if they actually just had a refurb done on Living with the Land, but then the film would have still been open and stuff like that. And I mean, I think I went to Epcot in 1982 with my brother got us in free on a soft opening day, and I think Land was opening day attraction. So I don't think it's ever actually been closed, maybe other than for a short refurb and stuff, you know.
So. That's what I'm saying. So if there was ever a better time for them to refurb everything in this building and bring it up to date and do something with it, this would be the time. So, I mean, I think we ought to be standing by. I wouldn't be surprised if there's an announcement of Sunshine Seasons in the Land going down as of this point.
Yeah, it certainly would make sense while you have all that equipment over there and, you know, everything that it takes to do these massive renovations. I mean, it would probably be cost effective to just roll right into another project or simultaneously, you know, do both, you know, so maybe they will.
Well, maybe they got to do something to Garden Grill, too, you know, the turntable up there. Maybe
yeah, make it
that
spin.
A little bit.
Yeah,
a little faster.
Four times faster.
That's one restaurant I always forget about. What you got? What about you guys?
You know, I've
never been there. So.
Yeah, me neither. I've never eaten there. My sister has, what do they call that, vertigo. If she even thinks something's moving. Yeah, if she booked there once, I might have told this on the show, but they didn't realize it rotated until they got sat down and, you know, then she figured out that it was moving and they literally had to leave dinner and it was a big fiasco. I mean, it moves so slow. I mean, you know, I don't have vertigo, so maybe I'm just being insensitive, but, mm-hmm. You know, I'd say suck it up. It can't be that bad. That's me.
It's because it's your sister. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe that's exactly. It. Maybe
it was anybody else, but being it's family, you could say that then.
Come on, suck it up. Yeah. It's exactly. Not like the shrimp are flying off your plate from the centrifugal force.
It's not like
right?
You're eating. It's not like you're eating in the teacups or something.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. You can, I mean, if you stare at it, you almost can't even see it moving. It's moving so slow.
I was in the Navy, and our ship went through a tropical storm one time, so I'm pretty sure I'd get over it. So,
Well, my point is how did she get there?
Yeah, I forget the detail, but I mean, you know,
I'm just kidding, but she didn't just transport there, heliport. She had to move in a moving object. Had to take her to Florida.
Yeah, but I mean, well, you've eaten there, right, Doug?
No, I haven't either. I forget about it all the time.
But I literally mean you almost can't see it moving, so I think you could probably get in it in the restaurant without, if you were talking and engaged in conversation and
you
just
know.
Yeah, you wouldn't even know it's moving. I mean, I think it was one of those things, either they discovered it as they were eating or they might have overheard somebody else talking about it and then, mm-hmm. You know, it all kicked in and, you know. But anyway, suck it up and eat and let's go.
Yeah, I always forget about the place. It isn't that I've heard anything good or bad. It's like, it's non-existent in my world. I don't hear anybody. Have you ever heard another blog or a podcast, anybody talk about the place?
Yeah, well, maybe once on some other show, but you don't. I mean, it's kind of like Cinderella's Royal Table. To me, anyways, it's off the radar, not even, you know, anywhere near the radar. I wouldn't consider it. In fact, I think they just changed the carrot.
All I know is one of us have to eat there one of these times.
Yeah, we'll have to do it for research purposes, right?
Or at least
I read a review
do
one
a
time
review.
And, yeah, I read a review and they said the food was pretty good. So
We should do one of our little restaurant things with it. Go over the menu. Just try to entice ourselves to eat there.
Yeah, we'll do a Pinocchio's on. If we talk about it, we might think we might enjoy it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just so you know, the dates that the movie's going to be closed, it actually closed on February 7th, and it isn't opening until April 2nd. So I think they're putting a new movie in.
Hey, maybe that's a test run for the Soarin' movie.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
No.
Wouldn't that be something?
No, but if you want to eat at Sunshine Seasons, I'm sure there's plenty of room now.
Yeah.
Yes,
absolutely.
There is.
So seating for all.
So what's up next, partner?
Yeah, Club Villain ticket sales resume for March, but with a price increase. What a shocker. Sale of tickets for the Club Villain event at Disney's Hollywood Studios have resumed for dates in March. The price has been increased from the original $99 to $129 per person. As before, entry to Disney's Hollywood Studios is not included with the ticket. Club Villain is available on Tuesdays and Saturdays and is located in the new Sunset Showcase near Rock and Roller Coaster. Let's see, Dancing and Chilling with the Disney Villains. Sunset Showcase Loudly presents Club Villain, a frightfully fun dance and dine event. The spellbinding event features decadent New York delicacies like tender beef strip loin rubbed with herbs de Provence, voodoo sticky pig wings with citrus gremolata, and spiced shrimp sautéed with andouille sausage, tomato, okra, and onions over a creamy polenta.
I'm going to correct you real quick. It sounds awesome. You said New York, but it's actually New Orleans. That's what.
Oh, New Orleans, yeah.
You're so used to saying New York, I guess, with your son cooking right down the street that it comes out. But as soon as you said voodoo sticky pig wings.
Yeah, that's not New York. That's what
yeah, New Orleans sounds a little. Yeah, that yeah. sounds a little more.
Yeah, so anyways, trick or treat yourself into a fiendish cocktail concoction, specialty alcoholic drinks plus beer and wine, hilarious stage show numbers, and close-up encounters with Disney's most dastardly doomsday divas. Mix and mingle with mysterious Maleficent, hilarious Queen of Hearts, and delirious Evil Queen, and the always fur-fetched Cruella de Vil, and wicked jams from our house DJ. And like I said, tickets to Club Villain can be purchased for $129 per person. Tax and gratuity are included.
What are they giving you that's $30 more? Is the food better here? Because I don't know what the first one was, but it better be they didn't give you the food last time or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to ask John, have you ever partaken in this Club Villain thing?
No, it's something probably back at $99 or maybe a little less. It was something that me and my wife would have probably considered because she's more of a villains type of she likes all the Disney villains, so she would have really enjoyed that. But I mean, $130 for what? Well, it sounds like a decent dinner, but then maybe only a couple of hours of entertainment. I don't know. That's a little out of our price range for a Saturday evening as entertainment. So
$260. I mean, yeah, you're right.
And if you take your son, you're at four bills.
Yeah, he wouldn't be interested in that. But yeah, $260 for us. That's yeah, with tax tag, title, and registration, it's probably $300. So.
Right.
It's crazy. I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, it's another offering that if somebody's going there, it keeps them out of my way on Toy Story. But you're not going to get me paying $130 for that. I'll go eat at the Le Cellier. For $130 for both of us.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, just like all them other dinner shows and stuff. I mean, you're paying extra for the cast members and the villains and the, you know, the DJ and all that. So the meal is the meal. And, you know, I know you were just poking fun, Doug, but, you know, the cost didn't go up, you know, $30 a head and, you know, since last year or whatever. It's, you know, just the cost of living going up for all those other things. And unfortunately, these you know, dinner shows and stuff, that's what you're paying for, the extra entertainment.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, my dancing days are pretty much over.
Yeah, but it'd be cool to see. I mean,
I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, I would definitely you know, want to see it once, or if, you know, the timing was right and at a point in that trip where we had some time to do it, I would definitely check it out if I could. But
on the bucket list of things to do, it's about $130. So after I get through the other $129, I'll pay the $130 to go see that.
Exactly.
What's up next, partner?
Yeah, let's see here. The Oasis Pool area nears completion at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. Excuse me. I was reading Villain from the previous story.
Cruella de Vil chases you in the pool over at the Polynesian.
Yeah. The Polynesian Village Resort opened most of its updates almost a year ago, but work has continued on reworking the resort's quiet pool area. In place of the old East quiet pool comes the new Oasis Pool, complete with the Oasis Bar and Grill. It also features an expanded deck area, more shade, restrooms, and an all-new pool. Let's see here. The area is still having the final touches put in place, but it appears that it could be open in the very near future. So, yeah, I can't believe it's been a year since they kind of opened up the new Polynesian Village Resort, and they've still been, you know, punching it out, if you will, and boy, it doesn't seem like a year has gone by since then, but I guess it has.
The last 10% is always the hardest.
Yeah, I guess. And, you know, with everybody over there, not only the guests staying at the Pauley, and, you know, they opened up the new DBC bungalows and the villas there. You know, and there's people that are staying at all the other resorts, and even off-property folks that are anxious to see the newly renovated Polynesian Village Resort. So there's probably even more foot traffic over there than there was before all this happened.
Yep, it's in construction. You make your bones with the framing, the roughing, all that stuff's where you got to make your time. If you lose time on that, you know what, out of luck at the end.
Yeah.
You have no more time left, because that's when all the you're worried about breaking anything, getting paint on anything. Everything has to be perfect when it's what's being seen. So.
Right. But anyways, soon Pat will be able to go to his new Oasis pool bar and buy us all drinks when we go down there.
He better.
Let's see what else we got here. Last chance to see three of Epcot's character meet and greets. February 13th, which was yesterday, will be the final day for Princess Aurora at France, Winnie the Pooh and Friends at the United Kingdom Pavilion, and Chip and Dale outside Character Spot. Joy and Sadness from the Inside Out will soon open, and the Character Spot has recently expanded to include Baymax from Big Hero 6. So they're going to be bringing some of the, you know, the characters from some of the newer Disney/Pixar releases for meet and greet photo opportunities, which I guess is a good thing.
Yeah, the newer up-to-date guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you still haven't seen Big Hero 6 yet, have you?
I haven't seen any of them movies.
John, have you?
Actually, I saw Big Hero 6, I saw Inside Out, and I made a point of seeing Ant-Man, so I'm pretty current.
Okay. I'm going to be seeing probably next week.
We saw Ant-Man.
Okay. Oh, you did?
Yes.
How'd you like that?
I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, what's his face?
Paul Rudd?
Yeah, what? No, but it wasn't
Iron Man.
But I mean, it was for that type of movie, it was enjoyable.
It was different. That I've seen like parts of it. I just haven't seen the whole thing yet.
Yeah.
But Inside Out, I liked, and I also liked I like Big Hero 6 better than Inside Out myself. I mean, Inside Out was very good, but it got sorrow got so annoying. am I wrong, John?
Sadness got a bit dreary. After
oh
a while,
my
yeah.
goodness! It was like let make it stop. It was too much. I mean, it was. I get it, but they really laid on her a little too much. I mean, she was wowsy wowsy woo woo in the whole show. But it was good. I liked it. There was a couple things I thought could have been better. It wasn't Toy Story to me.
No, it wasn't. That's a whole other level, though, you know. So
exactly, but people talked about it like it was. I mean, it won. It won best animated movie and all that. But I thought did you like Big Hero 6 or that better?
I like Big Hero 6 a lot. So yeah, I thought that one was thoroughly enjoyable. So.
And I think it was because the same thing, Dennis, like we talked about a couple weeks ago with the contemporary and Splitsville with the sushi.
Right.
I went into Big Hero 6 with no. Anticipate like nothing was
no expectation
at all, and it over the top. I enjoyed it. I went into Inside Out with big expectations, and I was disappointed, but I liked it.
Right, right.
I would recommend it, but it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. So,
nah, you know, everyone can't be a home run, right? Some of them are just doubles and triples, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, but I think it'll be cool. I'm glad they had the new meet and greets. It'll be cool.
Yeah, because, we forget. I'm guilty of this. You know, kids growing up, the 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds, and, even some of the kids a little bit older, this is their time. This is their generation of films that, like when we grew up with Lion King and Little Mermaid and all that stuff, or, this is their time, and they should be able to see these characters in the park, and, we're going to see more and more of this, and, I think that's a good thing. It's going to keep that long line of Disney fans coming to the parks for years to come.
It keeps it fresh.
Absolutely. Let's see. Two new kiosks under construction alongside the springs at Disney Springs. Let's see here. Two new kiosks are now placed along the springs in the center of Disney Springs. They are located across from Fulton's Crab House in Raglan Road and appear similar in size to the other kiosks in the area. set the bar in Sublime, which opened in October 2014. No word yet on what will be offered at the kiosks, but yeah, these are popping up all around there. I know when we were down there, I went into Set the Bar. That is, they sell like magnets and glasses and all stuff, as you can imagine, for, you know, a bar. You can get like 4-pack of, you know, little wine glasses or shot glasses and bottle openers and maybe, you know, little bar rags and stuff like that. It's kind of a niche store, as they call them. It was pretty cool. I kind of poked around in there for quite a bit, and you know, they're not large by any stretch, but again, like you just said, Doug, it's just something different they offer, and you know, it's just not the normal Disney stuff. It's kind of specific to whatever you know, they happen to be selling in a particular kiosk.
If they stick any food in these, you won't be able to walk 5 feet any direction without eating down there.
Well, you've been saying that, and if the retail, you know, merchandise doesn't go well, they can easily, you know, pop a few more windows in and put a counter, a window there, and start, you know, using them as a food and wine booth or something.
Yeah,
down
maybe
at Disney Springs.
Absolutely. Maybe one's going to serve fish and chips, and the other one, being Fulton's, is going down. Maybe they'll sell crab legs out of the other one.
Hey, there you go. You never know.
But, I'm in for a plate of crab legs.
Yeah. Yeah, but these things are, John, you've seen them. You've been down there a lot lately.
They're awesome.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah. Quite a few little kiosks, and everyone's got a little different type of merchandise available. So, yeah, yeah. Thoroughly enjoyable to stop and take a look at all of them, you know? So.
Yeah. I mean, if it's not your thing, you kind of blow right by it. But the, you know, the bar one there that I mentioned, it interested me a little bit. Let's see. Cali River Rapids refurbishment extended. The Water Raft Adventure was expected to reopen on Friday, but it looks now to be delayed by a month. So, don't know if they ran into something or, you know, as far as unexpected delays. A reopening date has not yet been confirmed, but March 18th is a current estimate. So if you had a trip planned and you thought you were going to ride that this coming month,
you probably weren't going to anyway. It's too darn cold to ride that in February. Even though they do the same thing that Splash Mountain does, they do knock down the waves where you're not going to get as wet when it's cold out.
Right.
They can control that if you don't know that, but it's not worth going on. Do you think it's worth going on if it's under 80 degrees?
Personally, myself, I don't believe it's worth going on when it's 90 degrees, but that's just me.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I've done it a few times. It isn't. The only way I'll do it now is if I'm with somebody that hasn't done it.
Right, right. I mean, again, we've talked about this. I mean, it's not that the ride isn't fun. I enjoy the ride. I love
old.
The ride vehicle. Just getting wet. I don't like being wet, and it's that whole issue. Unless you're going at the end of your day, you know, the whole issue with the air conditioning on the buses and all that stuff.
Just getting blisters on your feet, getting your feet wet, all that stuff, it's not worth it, you know?
It's just a hassle. What about you, John? Do you guys do Cali that much? Or?
The last time we did it, we had a fast pass, and we still ended up, you know how you get those fast passes every once in a while, and you still end up waiting 25 or 30 minutes for,
yes.
I think one time on Soarin', we got stuck for 35 minutes, even though
I call them the last passes.
Yeah. And last time me and my son did Cali River Rapids, that's exactly what happened, and we stood out there. We had the fast passes in anticipation of getting able to get cooled down and stuff, and instead we stood there for 40 minutes in the blazing sun, and it was, by the time we got up there, it was totally miserable. We got wet for 5 seconds and then just headed home. So no, I don't usually hit that often.
Yeah.
So.
See, and every time I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Doc.
I was just going to say, every time I've gotten on that ride, I've been lucky to get the heaviest guy on the float next to me, so we hit the water and I get soaked every time. My side hits the water every single time on that.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, I think like Splash Mountain, you can get soaked, but by and large, you know, you get wet enough so you get wet, but it doesn't ruin your day. At least I haven't experienced that. On this ride, if what happened to you happens when you ride it, It can ruin your day. When I say ruin your day, just make it miserable. It, you know, Animal Kingdom tends to be as hot as it is anyway. And if you add to it, you know, you're wet and all your clothes and your shoes and blisters, like you said, Duck, it's just another added aggravation that you don't need. So, you know, that's the drawback. I just wish they could take that feature out where you get totally, totally soaked like that, because I think a lot more guests would go on it. I mean, if it wasn't for that.
Like an orange and a green, like Mission Space.
Yeah, really. Yeah, maybe they
water, no water.
Exactly. I mean, it's too bad, because it's a beautiful ride, and, you know, the drop is fun, and, you know, there's nothing about that attraction that I don't like other than getting soaked. So, but I'm sure they would have done it by now if they could, so.
Yeah, they could, but I think more people, me and you are the exception to the rule. We don't want to get wet. Now, like, a lot of the young kids, like my godson, it was super cool to him to get soaked.
Yeah, you say that, Doug, but I hear a lot. It's not just us, because I hear a lot of people in the Disney community, young and old and in between, that have this same opinion. It's different because, think about it, like when you go to a water park, you're geared up for it. You have your trunks, you have your towel, you got your sun, you know, you got you're ready and you know, to go to a water environment for the day, and you're prepared for that. When you're here, you're going on other attractions. You're going to do dinosaur. You're going to be inside these buildings that are air-conditioned. You know what I mean?
It's you're just gonna freeze. Like, the other thing, you're going to dinner and stuff like that. It is annoying to me. I agree with you.
Right. Now, if, Cali River Rapids was in one of the water parks, let's just say, oh, it'd be awesome. I'd go on it 10 times a day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because that's what you're there for.
Exactly. So it's just, you know, it's just in a theme park when you're doing other things like other attractions and dinner, like you mentioned, it just doesn't fit.
I admit, even with me, as much as I love Splash Mountain, and I'm sure you guys have did this, there's been days where I've been dressed decent, and like I dress decent all the time when I'm there, but I've been dressed and already showered that day, and it was a nice hot day out, but I just didn't feel like getting wet to manipulate the rest of the night. To take that chance. There's been times where I have it going on that just because I haven't wanted to get wet at all.
Right.
Yeah, that's why my wife won't ride it very often. So.
Yeah, see, so here we have three different families, you know, between the three of us here, and we all pretty much have the same opinion, and one of them lives in the deep south and two up north, so, yeah, I think that's a pretty consistent opinion of that attraction across a good you know, section of the Disney community.
Yeah, I wish, like you said, it would be nice if you didn't get soaked, but I won't be going on it anytime soon, especially in February.
Right.
It ain't happening in February, man.
Absolutely.
74 degrees, it's like, we went down there, Dan, 74 would be like heaven to us right now.
Who
wants to get soaked on top of that?
No, not at all.
Well, it's 74, but I mean, even though it does get nice and warm with the sun out and stuff like that, but with our the dry winters we have, as soon as the sun goes down, it is going to dip back down into the 50s and the 40s tonight. So,
absolutely.
You know, and if I'm sure that sounds great to you guys, but if you are soaking wet walking around Animal Kingdom, it's not going to be thoroughly enjoyable. So,
no, not at all.
No. Let's see. Now, this one is really tugging at my heart here. Disney's Animal Kingdom. Churros and jalapeno pretzels removed from Disney's Animal Kingdom snack kiosks.
Wonder what's behind that.
Quick snack update from Disney's Animal Kingdom. No word on why, but churros and jalapeno pretzels are no longer available at any location in Disney's Animal Kingdom. The jalapeno pretzels are still available at Epcot's Block and Hans in World Showcase. The churros can be found in many locations throughout Walt Disney World.
I wonder if the monkeys broke into here.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe one of the monkeys had a bad reaction to the hotness of the jalapenos. Them are very popular, and I know that on a recommendation from one of the other podcasts a couple years ago, I didn't even know they existed, and I did get one time, and I've been addicted to them ever since. So I'm kind of disappointed at this, because I look forward to going to the Animal Kingdom and getting one of these. So,
yeah, that was one of my favorite snacks at Animal Kingdom. I don't understand why they would have quit selling them. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
And it doesn't give any explanation, or it doesn't even, you know, lead you to believe that they might come back at some point. It just says they're gone.
It is weird. It's as weird as all those shops closing in Future World. It's like, I don't get any of this.
Okay. Well, if you Yeah, if you remember, they just renamed all of the kiosks over there at the Animal Kingdom a couple shows ago. We read the names off, and they did change some menu items in some of them, although some of them stayed the same. So, you know, I don't know if it had to do with, you know, just kind of updating the menus and they were going the more healthy way, or I don't know, but nevertheless,
that's what it sounds like
they're
to me.
Gone. Yeah.
Pretty soon, all you're going to be able to get is Tex-Mex.
Yeah, exactly.
Pecos bills everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Newly filed permits appear to show Pandora's Nave River journey ride layout. Let's see. Recently filed plans with the South Florida Water Management District appear to show the ride layout for the new Nave River journey coming to Pandora, the world of Avatar at Disney's Animal Kingdom. I won't read the rest of the story because it just kind of tells about the layout of the attraction. But let's see. These plans also seem to confirm that the entire ride will be indoors.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be kind of like a Pirates of the Caribbean kind of ride, John.
Yeah, that's the impression I got. Kind of like Pirates of the Caribbean, small world where you're just maybe from room to room type thing, you know. So, I guess they would have to almost put it inside if you're gonna be going through the glow in the dark forest, right? So
unless they make all of Pandora glow in the dark, who knows what it's gonna be? But yeah, for me, it looks like we know it's kind of like a Pirates or Three Caveats. It's gonna be a dark ride. It's gonna be like Snow White or you know what I'm saying? I think it's gonna be the newer version, like the new Fantasyland, the new not Snow White, the new.
Little Mermaid.
I bet it kind of has a lot of that technology, kind of like that, but I think it's going to be cooler.
Yeah, it really looks cool. It really looks, and from what I've heard, it's going to be, you know, the latest technology, of course, and everything, so.
Well, it's going to be the ride for everybody that don't want to do,
The dragon thing.
Yeah, it's going to be flying on the dragon.
Yeah.
Are you excited about that?
Yeah, actually, we saw some more of the construction this weekend. So, I mean, you know, like we said, Avatar was not my favorite movie, but I still think that anything Disney is going to do, and especially a new land at Animal Kingdom, is going to be exciting. So, and it really is going to be exciting to be able to go and explore Animal Kingdom at night. And if this is the vehicle that's going to get us there, I'm very stoked to see it coming. So.
Yeah, because they're saying this is opening in 2017. The Nave River Journey is the land's second attraction, offering D-ticket class family river ride through Pandora. Bioluminescent rainforest. The river cruise will provide an alternative experience for those guests who may not wish to experience land's more thrilling Avatar Flight of Passage attraction. So this is going to be the second one open. So the land's going to open this spring, Avatar Land, but it's going to take a while for the second attraction to come, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it opening this spring already? I thought it was next year.
I thought 2006. I don't know this spring, but I know 2016. 16,
maybe.
Supposed
yeah.
To open.
Maybe
it's supposed
fall.
To open. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, the other ride really looks exciting. Really looking forward to that. Do you know if that's going to be? Is it going to be something like Soarin' with the gliders, or are there going to be personal ride vehicles, I guess, with everybody gets a dragon to themselves or something? Or
That's what it looks like to me, but I am not sure. But it's from everything they're saying, it's supposed to be Soarin' on steroids.
Okay. I'm probably committing some kind of crime by calling them dragons. I forgot the name of the things.
Fireflies or whatever the heck they are. I'm excited about this, too. I've been on board with it since it's been announced when Scott used to do the show. Me and him fought about this. And I've been on board for the same reason as you. Disney doing it, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's going to be ridiculously good. I think it's going to be one of the hottest places to be in the parks as far as the beauty of it.
Yeah, and definitely from what I saw, what the D23 convention was last year when they had some of the glow-in-dark plants and stuff that they're going to have there. They were showcasing some of those. It's going to be truly unique, so and totally different. So
what did you see when you were there on your last trip? Because you were just there.
You can actually see, you know, the floating mountains that they've been working on. You used to be able to just see some of the construction from parts of the park and stuff like that. Now you can see them sticking up all the way from the parking lot. So as soon as you park your car in Animal Kingdom, and especially once it's done, you're going to be able to see the floating mountains off in the distance. And so that's kind of, it's going to, you know, you look at the Tree of Life and they're going to be over to your left, and you're just going to see a couple of the big mountains sticking up.
So it's kind of geeking you out to see, because you can see more and more as you're pulling in there every time.
Yeah, and it's definitely going to be that anticipation factor. You know, people are going to park, and then, what's that? Oh, that's the new one, you know, that type of thing. So, so you can see that. And other than that, it's hard to see a whole lot of the construction actually in Pandora, but you can definitely see the cranes working on those. So
and then you also said that you seen the River of Light, some more of that. How was that?
Yeah. We got back past Expedition Everest, and when we got off that, you could go across that bridge there to the Finding Nemo ride, or Finding Nemo stage show. And on the bridge, they have the construction wall set up, but they have a couple of peek-throughs where you can, you know, put your camera down or bend over and take a look, and you can see the stadium seating being built for the Rivers of Light. And it looks like it's on... You're on a bridge, and it looks like the stadium seating is on that side of the bank, but on both sides of the bridge. And so it looks like there's going to be a couple of different spots where there's going to be seats at.
Okay.
And that looks like it's very close to being done.
So, well, I'm excited. They're supposed to have trials coming up.
Yeah, they're going to do some soft openings or something.
Oh, absolutely. Our buddy Aaron's hoping when he's down there in March, they'll get to see it.
Well, that would be nice, and get a trip report and talk all about that new nighttime spectacular. I've been looking forward to that for some time now.
Yeah, and speaking of that spectacular, Dan, did you read also in the news that Disney filed another drone permit?
I did. I was going to bring that up, but I can cover that now. Yeah, Disney is developing drones to carry projectors to produce aerial nighttime shows, and... I don't know if this is similar to the Dragon drone that they flew around the castle there a few years ago, but the patent was originally filed back in July 2014, which shows just how long Disney has been working on the use of drones for entertainment purposes, whereas previous patents had focused on the use of multiple drones to produce light shows. The latest patent focuses on the use of projectors. The patent describes a projection assembly for use with a UAV such as quadrotors. The projection assembly includes a projection screen with a rear surface and a front surface, and the projection screen has a level of opacity and or other physical qualities that enables it to function as a rear projection surface. The projection assembly includes a vehicle attachment under member adapted for coupling with the frame of the UAV, and the projection screen is supported at a first end by the vehicle attachment member. Wow, this is getting pretty technical here, but for whatever it's worth, along with other various drone patents, Disney has also been pursuing an exemption to rules that would allow Disney to operate drones over both Walt Disney World Resort and Disneyland Resort.
Yeah.
A positive ruling would seem to be clear the way for Disney to unleash its drone technology for the park's vast array of nighttime shows.
But that's what cracks me up. They're fighting themselves right now. They fought so hard to get these rules where nobody can fly over the parks. And now they're fighting for exceptions to the rules for these drones.
Right.
And it's one of those things, you can't have it both ways. Or
right.
Can you?
Well, with Disney, you never know. They can.
You might,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might be able to.
But the thing of it is it'll... What they're afraid of, and what I'm afraid of, if they get the rules passed where they're allowed to fly drones over the parks, then if somebody else flies a drone over the park, it's not going to be as... they're not going to be in as much trouble as they would be before if this rule gets dropped. So it'll open up a can of worms for outside people to start flying drones over the parks. Mark my words for that, because the repercussions won't be as bad if it's allowed to be done.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. I mean, you know, does anybody really own the airspace? I mean, I know in times of crisis, 9/11 and all that, the government would shut down any airspace it wants to, but you're talking about just, you know, during normal working time or whatever. But there's, some people that have the opinion nobody owns the airspace above anywhere, not even your own house.
Yeah.
And with Google Earth and all those, that's satellites, I realize that's not drones, but still, everyone can see any. I mean, think of all the great pictures we've already had with those drones that flew over Animal Kingdom. Remember, a year or so ago when we got them great pictures when they
Absolutely.
Were first starting to build? I mean, it's a good thing, but, I don't know. It's you're
I
right.
I just don't want to be having a sitting out with my fantastic body over at the Riverside Pool at Muddy Rivers and somebody flying a drone over taking pictures of me without me knowing.
Yeah, I actually have a buddy of mine that bought a drone, and I was kind of shocked at how cheap they were. And he, we got talking about it, and I went online and clicked on the one that he bought. And I think it was only like $225, and he showed me because he put it up on YouTube. And this thing takes off right from his backyard, and he went all around his neighborhood and down the street, and, he could see everything, and it was amazing. I mean, it's as clear or clearer than Google Earth, and you can, and I just thought, you can't do that, and, you're right in your neighbor's yard, but there's nothing against doing that. So
yeah, it's creepy to me, but the point of it is that's what I'm worried about. Like, if they're going to say they're allowed to do it, who's to stop you bringing your drone and flying it in the if you're sitting at out of your pool at Riverside, who's to stop you from bringing your drone with you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess yeah, you're right, Doug. It opens up all kinds of issues
Loopholes.
Like that. But I mean, if you think about it now, I mean, when you're in any city, well, anywhere for that matter, I mean, the way the cameras are and lenses nowadays, I mean, you could not even see somebody and they could be gawking at you and you'd never know it,
No, I hear you.
Without a drone.
I want to hear them. I don't want them all over my airspace.
Yeah.
I just want my quietness at my Disney.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know.
I just don't want it to open up a loophole. That's all I'm saying.
I think part of the problem with that, especially flying over a concentrated, group of humanity like at Disney World, is these things aren't infallible. And if one of them breaks
hurt.
And crashes, even they are lightweight, but still a 10-pound piece of metal.
Hit you between the eyeballs ain't going to feel good.
It's going to hurt. So.
Right. Let's see. Another little story here. The Marketplace Co-op at Disney Springs will soon be switching out one of its shops for a new Disney Travel Accessories and Gear Concept store. Zoe and Pickles will be closing at the end of February. That's later this month to make way for the new shop. And check out a video. They're going to have stuff like Disney tag range includes Haunted Mansion face mask and travel pillow, passport wallet, document organizers, oversized Disney travel with character tags and suitcases, straps, and more. So Zoe and Pickles didn't make it more than, 18 months here. It's the first casualty of the the co-op.
Yeah, I'm happy about that, the co-op, though, because it keeps creating new things. I like that.
Well, and I was going to say that, Doug, because I believe when this co-op came online, which it was one of the first new things to come online down there at Disney Springs, they kind of said that it might rotate stores in and out.
Yeah.
So this isn't surprising. If something doesn't work,
It might even not, and I'm not trying to cut you off. I'm sorry, Dan. It might even not be it don't work. Maybe they're just out of that inventory. It was just a run to do something.
Yeah.
And it came to a close.
Yeah, it could be. But I think that, we've all been in that store, at least I believe we have. It's kind of set up in that way where, it's not really it is a permanent store, but, changing of a few signs and a little paint, changing the color scheme, you could easily convert it to something else. So that's a good thing, I think, because as the years go on, things get stale or, whatever the case may be, you can bring something new in or when – new technology comes online, like when they first did the cell phone covers, cases rather, and all that stuff. I mean, they were able to mass produce them and do them rather quickly, and they popped that right in there, and that's a very, very popular little store there. So, yeah, Zoe and Pickles was kind of a tween store, I guess, a girls' store anyway, so it didn't really do anything for me, so...
You were telling me offline, I love my Zoe and Pickles.
Yeah. I'm glad to see something else coming there, but, we shall see.
And then, I don't know. I don't think they've done anything wrong with Disney Springs so far.
No.
It's been a complete home run to me, everything done down there.
Yeah, you said it a few shows ago, Doug. I mean, I almost look at it as a fifth gate, and I'm as excited about Disney Springs as I am about the parks right now in my touring life, and I'm good with that.
Our next trip down, I bet I'm there half the trip, it'll seem like.
Yeah.
Especially if we're with us staying at Riverside. I'll be at that. I'll probably be at Disney Springs every night, except for nights I'm watching Illuminations.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's an adult playground, that's for sure, and you can dine to your heart's content, and plenty of drink and shopping and movies and bowling and anything else you can think of to do down there. So that's all good. Yeah, that's pretty much it. We all know Flower and Gardens get ready to kick off here in a couple of weeks, and other than that, unless you guys have something you want to add, I'm good with news this week.
Well, John seen it. We know Dennis don't want to talk about this, so we'll talk about it. John was on his last trip again, as usual, every other weekend. He's at the parks.
Right.
You know.
Well, you guys told me I'm your Florida correspondent, and I took it serious.
So. Well, you have to be. Now you got to go even more.
All right. Well.
But
we don't pay overtime, John, so we're not going to pay the
high rates. You're not going to help me cover those annual passes.
No, we're minus minimum wage. But, John, so I know Dennis don't want to read this, but the Frozen Ever After and Royal Summer House meet and greet construction. So how's that going on over at Epcot?
From what I see, it's big, like real big. I think we've talked about it before that just based on the size of the building that they're making, it looks like you're not going to have to worry about people standing out on the promenade to wait in line. I think that queue is going to wind. Probably parts of the queue, I would think you're going to probably be a quarter of a mile back into the World Show, you know, back behind World Showcase. So, yeah, it's a massive place, and it almost looks like it's going to be a two-story building. So, or at least give the appearance of being a two-story building. So,
I mean, how excited are you about this, John?
my son's just actually getting into Vikings now, so you know, in the history of Vikings and stuff like that. And, I wish you would have liked that about 3 or 4 years ago.
I'm looking at the pictures here, and my mouth is watering for some school bread because I could see the bakery with the facade there. I could see the Kringle Bakery.
I was gonna ask you guys about that school bread. Do you think I could get that without the coconut on top, or is that something that's made when they make them?
I think it's made. I don't believe it's made on site, John. It's probably made over at the big bakery behind the Magic Kingdom. So I'm guessing no, but I would ask. You never know.
I got a hint. Like maybe if I was there like every other day, and I could walk in and maybe one time say, "Could I get this without the coconut?"
Or tomorrow when they bring their shipment over, can you bring me a couple with no
coconut? Just bring one or two without coconut.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, you're there all the time. Maybe go in and ask.
Not a fan of coconut. John, no.
What's
not
that?
You're not a fan of coconut, I take it.
Something about the texture. I don't mind the taste of it, but something about the texture I just can't stand. So I can't eat German chocolate cake. I don't think you'd have a problem
taking it off, though.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's really not, like,
into the bread itself,
so you probably could take a knife, the you know, the backside of the knife, and scrape it and get probably 99% of it off.
Okay. So all right, maybe I'll give it a shot then. Because I know I want to try it, and based on you guys raving about it, I know I want to give it a shot sometime. So
it is really, really good. And what I love about it is it's big enough to share. That's what I like about it. You don't have to eat the whole one. But it's good though, because if you share it, it gives you an excuse to get it each night you're at Epcot.
Exactly.
So you don't feel like you're going overboard with it, but you have to, it's one of those things you should try.
Okay.
Yeah, and I guess I was just going to add, I'm reduced to this with, you know, Maelstrom gone and the new attraction coming online. I just hope that the Kringle Bakery, you know, I know there's been zero talk about it going away, so I'm going to assume that it's safe for now, but that's a favorite of mine. I just hope that with all this new stuff in the pavilion that they don't look to do something else with that spot. I don't think that's the case, but I'd hate to see my favorite bakery go away.
We walked through Norway when we were there on Sunday and took some pictures and stuff, and wanted to take a look inside the Stave Church again, you know, and see what's in there. And of course, it's the frozen stuff. But I mean, I think two of the stores inside the gift shops now, you know, are totally frozen out. Frozen. So I don't think the Kringle of Bakery is going to go anywhere, but my goodness, there's going to be so much frozen stuff in there. It's going to be ridiculous.
Well, so. the H&H store, which I have a nice hat that's probably like 15 years old that still looks brand new, and I have one of those we have one of those sweaters. It's good stuff, but it was very expensive stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't – the only way they sold that was you getting off the ride to see it. I don't see it dragging everybody to the back of that pavilion to buy it. Do you guys?
Frozen merchandise?
No, the H&H stuff. Remember you got like, I don't see that on its own without you being, dropped off right in the middle of it. I don't see it luring people back there to buy it.
No, I totally agree, because I think that folks that buy that merchandise, it's a very select
I have a couple pieces, but it was only because I got off the ride and got it. My wife likes Disney stuff that's subdued. Like, she'd rather me wear H&H hats and Canada hat and stuff that isn't always with Mickey Mouse on it. Some subdued stuff instead of me running around with Big Mickey on my head all the time. So right. She likes buying me that stuff. But I couldn't see myself going back there to buy it if I didn't get dropped off during the ride.
Right.
But I totally agree with what John's saying. He's already saw over there. I mean, with all the it's going to be strongly frozen, themed, if you will, the whole pavilion for the most part. It only makes sense that they would have the merchandise there, because it's going to be like every other attraction on Disney property. You're going to exit that, whatever the new attraction is, and you're going to be dumped into this store where there's going to be impulse buying galore going on, and Disney's going to make a killing. So
hopefully Schwinn's there.
Oh, I'm sure they all will be. And no, but it makes sense. I mean, I would expect that and nothing less. And I think so. You know, a lot of that other merchandise that was more tied to, you know, Norway proper, if you will, is going to go by the wayside or be scaled back to, you know, a very limited section of the store.
Yeah, I got a picture of my giant troll. I wanted to make sure I got a picture of him just in case they get rid of the troll store there in the middle. So
right.
Make sure you get a picture.
As a throwback to Maelstrom, but yeah. I could see them getting rid of it though, because it may not fit the the theme now. So who knows?
No, I'll miss that whole area. I did really enjoy hanging around back there. Last trip we watched Illumination one night from there eating school bread, and I recommend that. Sit in the chairs there, and like, you don't get the best view, but it is relaxing. You know what I'm talking about, Dan? When you go through the Bakery.
I'll bet you I've watched Illuminations there 6 or 8 times over the years. And you're right, Doug. People may stand in front of you, but you can still see between.
And it's just relaxing.
Yep.
We got a couple school bread. We got school bread, and I forget what else we got. We got a couple different treats, and we shared, me and my wife and my sister-in-law. And we watched the one night right from there. I mean, it's just because you don't have to be always sitting by the lake to enjoy Illuminations. You can, you could just the music and being immersed in it in World Showcases is awesome to me, no matter where I am. I mean, I don't want to be in a store where I'm not seeing anything.
Right.
But as long as I'm in the pavilion, I'm happy.
Right, and you can obviously, we've seen Illumination so many times, if you can't see the low stuff, you can visualize what's going on by the music, so you can, you know, you don't have to see it, and certainly you can see the fireworks and stuff and the lasers going up into the air, so I totally agree, Doug. That's a, you know, maybe I wouldn't recommend it for your first time seeing Illuminations, but if you're a multi-time viewer of that show, certainly you can enjoy it, right there at the Kringle Bakery on that covered outside seating they have right outside there.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it everywhere around the entire world. Every country, we've seen it multiple times. So, but I enjoyed that. It was relaxing because we were off the beaten path.
Yep, absolutely.
So what else did you do there this last trip, John? You got to see River of Lights we talked about. You got to see a lot going up over in Pandora. Then you said do a whole group ride on Kilimanjaro Safari?
Yeah, we had 14 people, so
wow.
That was four rows of folks, just our group, to do Kilimanjaro, so that was a lot of fun. So, and a couple of things about Kilimanjaro, the first time I saw the wild dogs, they had the wild dogs out there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we saw those, and unfortunately, I keep hitting the parks on a very cold morning, because it was, again, about 40 degrees when I was there, so all the dogs were huddled in one giant dog huddle, so you couldn't see them or anything. And another thing I noticed is they actually, part of the of the savannah. When you get out to the savannah, they had the rhinos, the zebras, and one of the type of gazelles all in the same general area. So if you timed it right, you were able to get a picture showing three different animals, which, you know, just gives you that authentic African safari type of look.
That's
so it was
cool.
Really cool. Yeah. And I'd heard the zebras were always troublemakers, and they didn't want them with the other animals. So it's kind of
yeah.
different to see them together. So
I've heard that, too, that zebras are, how can I say it, pains in the neck. They yeah, you said troublemaker. Good way to put it. They're... You know, everybody thinks they're cute and they're the little docile animals, but I guess they can really
they love to
stir
bite.
Up trouble.
They
yes.
love to bite and kick.
Yes, exactly.
And then rhinos, not an animal that's going to put up with any crap whatsoever. So I'm surprised they're all roaming together. It could get ugly.
Yeah, it was kind of, but like I said, it was kind of cool. You know, you're looking for that, Lion King type of look or something. You know, you want to get that picture, and so you're able to get one of those. So.
Yeah, because you're right. You usually only see one species at a time,
yep.
maybe two if you're lucky, something in the foreground, maybe some birds or something like that. But you're right, to get three different species all in the same, caption, if you will, that's
just
pretty.
Just as long
pretty
as they don't put the lions in with the zebras.
Yeah.
Then yeah,
we'll be getting a little too realistic down there.
And they did that on the Jungle Cruise, and we all know how it turned out.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
So I was going to say, those lions are so well-fed, they probably wouldn't touch anything
True.
Even if they could.
Yeah, you never know. So what else did you do? Did you eat anything good there? Or?
I don't think we ate anything at Animal Kingdom. You know us over to Epcot for that. But what I wanted to make sure to mention was when you're going into Animal Kingdom, and especially if you're going in the morning and it's about 5 minutes, 10 minutes until opening, and there's quite that sizable crowd over there at the front gate. If you go and look through the Rainforest Cafe shop for about 5 minutes and then walk your happy butt right out the other side, you'll find a gate with no people, no waiting to walk right in. So.
Yeah, I know, John. You're not supposed to tell that to everybody.
Oh, crap.
let me guess, and you saw a purple elephant on your way to that gate.
Yeah. Maybe I did.
You know how many times me and my wife have done that?
Oh, that works so good. That
yeah,
because
you
so
sneak
well.
All the way out back around. You're back in the Oasis there.
Yep.
It's an awesome little trick. Yeah, I mean, and you get to see the rainforest. Maybe get yourself an ADR while you're in there.
You know, they have a decent breakfast menu, and at some point I think maybe me and the wife are going to stop there and try some of their breakfast. I know the Rainforest Cafe is mediocre food, but, you know, I might give it a chance for a breakfast one time. So.
I mean, we talked about it on the last show. It was in both me and Dennis's bottom five. And it wasn't bottom five. It was just that there's so many options. We're probably not going there anytime soon.
Yeah.
But I've never had a bad meal there, and I've eaten between the two of them. I can't even count how many times because that was our go-to place at the Animal Kingdom. But it used to bum me out because you'd be all the way in the back of the Animal Kingdom. Me and Brenda like to sit down to eat. We like to be served. You know, we don't like buffets and stuff like that. So it was like before the Yak and Yeti opened, we always ate at the Animal Kingdom when we were there. And you felt like you had to leave the park to eat, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought maybe for a breakfast, you know, it'd be good if you got there a little early and stopped in there and got you a nice little quick bite. And
you'll enjoy
it. Into the park.
It's probably the biggest breakfast menu on property, the way that menu is.
Right. And
they have an expansive menu, so.
How can you screw up breakfast, right? I'm sure it'll be fine. And, you know, from a price perspective, it's probably a pretty good value as well, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I would do it. I would definitely do it, John. And you get in the park early. Go there early for breakfast.
Yeah.
Eat it, you know, go, because that opens, I think the rainforest opens like an hour before the park does for breakfast.
See that, what you get on the WDW Main Street podcast. 1 week we're trashing it, the next week we're recommending it highly to get over there and eat.
for breakfast. John brought it up for breakfast. But
yeah, there you go.
So where'd you head after that? Go to Epcot, or what did you do?
Yeah, we headed over to Epcot at that, but I was at Animal Kingdom at exactly the same time that Bob Saicon was, and I actually saw some of his posts, and we must have been within feet, yards of each other, and I didn't notice him anywhere. So
he didn't see your shirt flashing, or you didn't see him with a Main Street shirt on, because he was wearing our shirt
that
day.
And then I wasn't able to put that flashing post on until I got over to Epcot, because it wouldn't stay on my jacket. So
it
I had
was
to
too cold.
Get over to Epcot and just wear a t-shirt, and I got that on. So
okay. So what did you do over at Epcot for the day?
We got over to Epcot, and I noticed their they've got the flowers going in for the Flower and Garden Festival, and they're building the playground there on the right-hand side of the pathway, you know, the where the Rose Garden is.
Okay.
Yep.
They've got that going and stuff like that, and I think the day we were there, they just had the plot lines laid out for that giant flower bed they put on the, you know, the giant, gorgeous flower bed they put in. They had the plot lines, and I think that what I saw pictures of yesterday, they got most of that in already, so...
That's cool when you get to see that, when you're lucky enough to live there, to go all the time, to actually see them actually building something like that. You know what I mean, Dan? Like, you can see the layout, then go a couple days later, and it's in?
Yeah, because John gets to see kind of the skeleton of that whole, I know what you mean, that I call it like the carpet of flowers that just goes along that hill that drops down into the water. It'd be on your left if you were heading to World Showcase from Future World. And it's just a carpet of vibrant flowers. I was just going to ask you, like, is it cordoned off? Like, is there plastic, like, edging they use? Or what do they use?
From what I saw, they had grids. They had stakes staked into the ground, different color-coded stakes.
Okay.
And then just strings tied to those run into each other, that type of. And I'm sure in some kind of corresponding manner that I couldn't decipher, but I'm sure it made sense to them. So.
Well, the good thing was that you had Park Hopper to be able to go back and forth. So bring back Park Hopper, Disney.
One thing.
I had to get it in.
You're right.
I had to show the drugs didn't totally get to me.
There you go.
So what else did you do, Johnny?
Well, I've been to the, since they put in the metal detectors out there, I've been into the park, in and out of the parks 8 times, and I've been nabbed 6 out of the 8 times. So if you guys think I'm a suspicious looking character, you're not the only one.
I think they're profiling you, John.
What do you keep bringing your beer opener with you?
No, I don't know. I've got caught. I'm running about 70% right now. So
what are they catching you for?
I have no idea. When you go through the bag check, they walk up to you and say, "Excuse me, sir, you've been randomly selected to go through the metal detector."
Oh, jeez. Well, look at you, dude.
That's what I said.
But that's why we have you on this podcast. You wouldn't be able to get on any others. This is the Riff Raff podcast. Bangers, Mash, and Bass.
I want to hang out anyway. So.
Yeah, they know your bass.
But the rest of the day, I put the little metal sign on or the flashing billboard for
That's
us.
That's probably why they pulled you over.
That might have been it right there, right? And I actually had, I think, 3 or 4 people ask me what it was all about. So I got to discuss podcast a little bit with them.
That's pretty cool.
And actually, when I was at Animal Kingdom and I stopped and talked to you outside of Kilimanjaro Safaris, my son was actually there with, I think, 4 or 5 of his buddies from school, and one of the girls that was there with, "Well, what's your dad doing?" "Well, he's doing a podcast." And these are teenage kids that have no idea what a podcast is. So,
oh, boy.
That's
you
crazy.
You had to explain it to them what a podcast is. So.
Yeah, that's weird. You would think every kid knows what a podcast is.
You would think so. So, right. But, I did that. And like I said, I had walking around Epcot, I had 3 or 4 people. Actually, one cast member asked me what it was and stuff like that. And that day, we went over to France right away, and we got Lisa the lobster bisque in France, and I got the potato and leek soup in a bread bowl. And
that
was really good. It was really good.
I love anything in a bread bowl.
Oh, yeah. It makes it just that much better. So
they used to have a salad place here that used to – I forget the name of the place. That they used to do these garlic bread bowls. It was out of this world. You couldn't wait to get through. It was the fastest I ever ate my greens in my life just to get to the bread ball. Did you ever have one of them, Dan?
Yeah. Yes, I have. I know exactly what you mean. And you're right. There are. I've had soup and different things in them, and you're right. Depending on what the flavoring is, they're pretty good.
Yeah, by the time you're done eating, all those flavors soak into the bread. It makes it that much better.
Exactly.
So
nice and mushy. Yeah, we had that. And I don't think we actually ate a whole lot of other stuff. Got my wife the chocolate gelato, and I had a couple of beers and made our way around. And we went over to Boardwalk and walked around there. And it was about 2 hours before the Super Bowl started. And we walked past the ESPN Club, and they had all those rolling hedges hiked up in front of all the windows and the big screen TV they have outside and everything. So there was no chance you were not gonna, you were going to get any glimpse of the Super Bowl once it started. So
That's a shame. Like, why would they care? Like, it ain't cost them anything for you to watch it from outside.
And they usually have that beer stand there where, you know, you can grab a beer, and then if you're going to sit and watch it, almost every guy is going to grab a beer while he's going to sit and watch a little bit of the football. So,
yeah,
that was kind of odd.
Yeah, that is weird. I mean, because I'm sure it was, because I've watched many games at the pool bars. I'm sure they had it on all the TVs at the pool bars, and every bar on property probably had the game playing. I don't know why. I mean, because I'm sure some of the resorts might even have it playing on an outside TV somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You would have thought maybe some of them big inflatable screens that they do for, you know, the movies.
They
could have put because they could put it on one or two of those. So.
I'm surprised Disney the way they are. I mean, every player that wins goes to Disney World. So, but I'm surprised they didn't shut down the channel in the room so nobody stayed in.
Right, get out there and spend some money. Get out of your room.
Yeah, if you want to watch it, you got to go to a bar.
So. Yeah, because I bet you there was more people in the room during that Super Bowl than any other day probably during the year. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Particularly if you were from any of the two cities that were participating. But even, you know, casual fans or neutral fans, you know, everybody watches a Super Bowl. I mean, most people.
See, I would have definitely watched the game. I'd have let Brendan Mom or whoever do, like, whoever was with us do what they wanted. I'd have probably gone down to, like, Muddy Rivers or, you know, over into the River Roost and watched the game. You know what I'm saying? Hung out in there. That's where I would have liked to have seen it. But I wouldn't have, definitely wouldn't have missed the game.
Yeah, that's always a conflict for me. I mean, unless your team's in it, which I get that, where, you know, I'd watch it, you know, no matter what. But on a neutral party game, even the Super Bowl, I'd have a tough time giving up three and a half hours of my Disney time. I personally wouldn't watch it, but that's me.
See, that's why I would go to an establishment. So if I was at Jock Lindsey's Hangar Bar or at the River Roost or something, I'm still having an event because I'm enjoying the parks.
And you're not in your room.
Exactly.
So you're still having, you're doing a Disney thing in your mind.
Exactly. I can order some hors d'oeuvres. I could have some, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm still enjoying myself. I'm eating something. I'm having some drinks. I'm having a good festive time. It would be like the same thing as me going to see Yeehaw Bob for a couple hours.
Right, right.
That's the way I would look at it.
Well, we actually ended up almost compromising. We did stayed for, I guess we left about midway through the second quarter, and by the time we got home, it was starting the second half. So we missed the halftime show, and tell you the truth, we got home. Well, I know you love that scene, but anyway, we got home in time for the second half, and watching the second half, I really wish I would have just stayed for Illuminations.
You only knew, you're right. You would have had a better time watching Illuminations. Yeah.
Well, my whole problem with the Super Bowl, and I'm going to be on my soapbox, and I'll probably get yelled at for this. But the NFL did everything in their power to give that game to Peyton Manning, in my opinion. I didn't watch a football game the entire season where there wasn't at least three or four pass interference or holding on the defense, holding penalties on defense, defensive holding, secondary, illegal, anything illegal on the other team's defensive secondary. They allowed that Super Bowl to be played like it was the Steelers and the Cowboys from the 1970s. The way they called that game. They allowed holding. Did you guys ever see, have you guys watched the game the entire season where there wasn't a defensive pass interference? The way the new rules were?
Not that I saw. But they do tend to call it differently in the playoffs and the Super Bowl than the regular season.
Dude,
that happens every year.
Dude, that game was called so, I'm not saying Denver didn't play a great game. I'm not saying Denver didn't deserve to win. But if they'd have called that game the way they called the entire rest of the season, that game would have been totally different. If you watch that game, it would have been like your boy Gronkowski, every time he left the line of scrimmage, was totally tackled or drugged to the ground. And that's what was happening to Greg Olsen in that game.
Yeah, but, Doug, they do it every year. I mean, and again, I'm not being a smart A here, but, I mean, my team has been in many a Super Bowl over the last handful of years, and it's every year when the playoffs come, the refs call it differently. It's just a fact of how the playoffs are structured, and they want the players to decide it on the field, and they tend to let more things go. That isn't a unique thing that happened this year,
in
my opinion.
Well, it is to me. I've watched it because I've never seen a year like this year where there was more. I was getting sick of my game because of how bad they call defensive holding on every single play. A defensive back can't do anything. And it would bother me because the average 4 or 5 per game, every game, you can't touch anybody. And then all of a sudden in this game, and even in the playoffs, they called it the same way. Usually when the playoffs start, they'll allow you to do certain things.
Right.
And then they called it the same way, roughing the passer, pass interference on every call. And then all of a sudden in this Super Bowl, you're allowed to tackle and drag receivers to the ground on every single play if you choose to. There was only one call at the end of the game, and Peyton got it for a ball that was thrown into the bleachers. Over the receiver's head, they called a defensive holding on Norman, who's the best defensive back in football, and gave Peyton first and goal from the one-yard line. So they did call one at the very end of the game. And in the second half of that game, it was 8 penalties for Carolina and 0 penalties for Denver, because Denver's the cleanest football team on the planet.
Well, the way I look at it, Peyton had little to do with that victory. It was their defense that won the Super Bowl for them. So
exactly.
If Peyton got any calls his way, which, you know, say they do, he did, it had little or nothing to do with them winning.
Denver
defense dominated.
They dominated because they were allowed to dominate. They were allowed to beat up the other team. And I'm not saying that's football I like. I wish the NFL would go back to that, allow the players to decide. But the entire season wasn't that. And that was my gripe with the Super Bowl. And anybody could send tweets or texts to me loving Eli, and Peyton, and I really don't care.
I guess you could go this way. When they stop having old men officiating a game that's played so fast and there's so many things going on at the same time, shame on the NFL for having what I think are subpar officiating for a game that brings in billions of dollars a year.
Well, they should. The bottom line is they should be full time.
Exactly.
It should be a full time job.
Exactly. They have half timers. No pun intended. But you know that game deserves to have trained professional officials that do this for a living, and they can train and do all this stuff that they need to do. The fact that half of these guys are lawyers during the week and they fly to a city and officiate a game is kind of ludicrous to me, don't you think?
Yeah, things need to change as far as that. And to get off the soapbox, we want to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day. We hope everybody has a great Valentine's Day.
What a segue that was.
Exactly.
That's a jump.
Yeah, we'll go to there. I'm trying to be calm now before I hurt my stitches.
Okay.
Yeah. But I said, I should have stayed for Illumination. So.
Yeah, if you knew how it was going to turn out, you would have done that, John.
Yeah, I certainly would have. But we ran back into my son. They ended up – okay, so my son's out there with 5 other boys and girls, 15, 16 years old. They didn't ride one thrill attraction. The Lion King show, Finding Nemo, Tough to Be a Bug, the land boat ride, Journey into Imagination, and Spaceship Earth, and and Finding Nemo.
Well, they had a very educational day too.
You're thinking, oh man, a bunch of teenagers are going to be doing Test Track and Expedition Everest and Dinosaur.
That's crazy. What was he with? A bunch of girls too?
No, it was 2 girls and 4 boys.
Okay, because I thought you said because earlier you said these 2 girls asked. I didn't know it was a whole group.
No, it was one of the girls. Yeah, one of the girls was wondering what I was doing on the phone.
Okay.
So.
But that's cool though that they enjoy all that. They're true Disney fans that love all. They're the great rides in my opinion.
Actually, 3 of those had never been to Disney before, and it was both my son and my wife. They're at the Lion King show. They got a bigger kick out of watching this kid watch the Lion King show just with his mouth open, just amazed at the gymnastics and stuff. You know, I mean, this poor, and it's amazing. It's probably amazing to you guys. I live 60 miles from Disney World, and the kids out here, I would say 85% of them have never been to Disney World, and so these 3
That's
of
bad
them
bad parenting, in my opinion.
3 of them that they took had never been there before, and they just I just can't imagine. We live this close, and you don't take your kids to Disney.
I think what the problem is the $100 a ticket, and nobody wants to invest in the annual pass because they don't know if they'll go enough, and it kind of puts you it's a kind of a quadrant, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, but at the same time, these knuckleheads out here, they'll go to the county fair and spend a ridiculous amount trying to win that giant
panda bear
dog they'll take home and, you know,
yeah,
spend $150 on throwing baseballs at a pylon. So
no, I hear you. I hear you. But, so, you know, I think that's probably the problem. You know, think one day you're going to just, if you're just, the problem is just going for the day. A family of four is like $400 just to get in the park.
No, that I've never done that. I've always done seasonal passes or annual passes or something like that. It's just, it doesn't work out. There's no way it works out to buy a single day ticket. It just doesn't. So.
No, but I bet you that's the reason why. And then they don't want to invest in
like
the
that.
Commitment to having to go all the time.
Yeah, they look at it like that, and they're like, well, if, you know, one day it costs us this much, if, my goodness, how much is, you know, annual passes? It's just not, it's not something we can do. So.
Exactly.
But.
So you had a good time then?
Yeah, I had a great time. We're going to be heading back out, I think, in 2 or 3 weeks, and we're going to do Magic Kingdom this time. So.
Okay, so what we're going to do for your next trip, I'm going to give you a homework assignment to do
for
the show. That's how we're going to work it.
All right.
I'm going to work. What do you think about that, Dan?
I think that would be awesome. He needs some homework. I was going to ask him, though, before you do that, are you going to start a countdown ticker or something on your computer to count down the 3 weeks?
I've got a for that one, probably not. I got
my
big countdown for my vacation. I'm at all, I think, 103 days. So, but that's for my vacation. So.
But you're going to be 3 weeks from going there again?
Yeah, I think so. I have to sit and take a look at our financial situation and decide when we want to go out again. But so,
I hear you.
Either 2 or 3 weeks. So.
You'll have a great time. We're going to figure something. I got a couple ideas that I want you to start doing when you're there. I can't just keep letting you go willy-nilly. We got to put you to use
all
here
right.
now.
Need some structure. I got it.
Yeah, we're going to get some structure in this. I'm back from my operation. The drill sergeant is back in. No more willy-nilly shows no more, guys. We're getting structure around here at the Main Street Pub.
Oh, boy.
So. But that's going to be it, guys. Wish both. I want to wish both of you guys. Tell your wives happy Valentine's Day. I'm sorry that you're their Valentines.
Yeah.
Same goes for you. Same
exactly.
Yeah, tell your wife the same thing.
Oh, exactly.
She deserves extra Valentine's gifts for how good she took care of me. I don't know why she did it.
So. Yeah, that was her chance, right, Doug? She
it was.
Cashed in the insurance and rode off into the sunset.
For some reason, she wants to keep me around, and I'm very grateful to her for that. She took care of me. I couldn't ask for a better health. I mean, she was, like, there every minute. I felt bad for her because the shape I was in, it wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
So, but
the
you
things we do.
You guys go spend the rest of your evening with your beautiful brides. I'm going to pay the Valentine's tab here now. I let us have water and what water and chips is what I served us tonight.
Wow. you that budget's getting bigger and bigger.
No, buddy. No, the beers and the margaritas and everything were on me. You guys have a great night. Please go over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. Dennis and I both went over to our buddies at the Mickey Dudes and left a review. You did a good job over there, Dennis.
Oh, I didn't check. It did post.
Yes, it did post. Good job. Awesome. It was a nice review. If you get a chance, John, go over to the Mickey Dudes and leave them a review.
I got to leave them a review. I caught them on the first show and left something nice on Twitter. But, yeah, I'll go leave them a review on iTunes. So.
Yeah. Give them the old college try from WDW Main Street.
You got it.
And thanks, guys. Guys, follow us on Twitter and Facebook at WDW Main Street. Follow John at Beer Solo. Follow Dennis at Oak Manor and me at Good Old Grumpy 6767. Have a great week, guys.
See you later.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
How do you do? Pleased to meet you. Fine, how are you? Nice seeing you. How you come on? How to do? Pretty good show is your born. Pretty good show is your born. Pretty good show is your born. How do you do? Not a pleasant meeting. How do you do? Say it when you meet. How do you do? With everyone beating. Pretty good show is your born. What goes up the show to come down? A penny lost is a penny found. How do you do? And you had it back. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. How do you do? Hi, how are you? Fine, how are you? Good to see you. How you come on? Howdy! Pretty good show is your bone. Stop jumping around. You're out of breath. Why don't you sit back and calm yourself? You can carry on now if you must. Wonder what we like, cuz that suits us. How do you do? Not a pleasant meeting. Pretty good show is your bone. Pretty good show is your born. I'm looking for a little more adventure. He's heading for a little bit of fun now. I'm hoping for a little more excitement. Time to be moving along. It's time to be moving along. The weather is good, the fishing is fine. Now what do you do with all of your time? Oh, a zigs and a zags, a twos and a froze. That's what you ask me, and that's what you know. Time to be moving along. Time to be moving along. He's looking for a little more adventure. I'm heading for a little bit of fun now. He's hoping for a little more excitement. Time to be moving along. It's time to be moving along. Time to be moving along. He's looking for a little more adventure, but he's heading for a little bit of trouble. He's heading for a little bit of danger. Time to be turning around. Hey, Brer Rabbit, better mend your ways. You're heading for trouble one of these days. Warning this rabbit, I'm afraid as always. He's making his way to the laughing place. He's looking for a little more adventure, but he's heading for a little bit of trouble. He's heading for a little bit of danger. Time to be turning around. Careful, Brer Rabbit, better mend your ways. You're heading for trouble one of these days. Warning this rabbit, I'm afraid as always. He's making his way to the laughing place. He's heading for a little bit of danger. Time to be turning around. Time to be turning around.
Home sweet home is the lesson today. Don't you worry, Mr. Bluebird. I learned my lesson.
The briar patch is where you were born, and the briar patch is where you're gonna stay.
One of these days, I gotta thank Brer Fox and Brer Bear for flinging me back home to my briar patch.
Zip-a-dee-doo-dah, zip-a-dee-ay. Brer Fox and Brer Bear are gonna get it today. Zip-a-dee-doo-dah, zip-a-dee-ay. Bad hungry gators get in his way. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth, it's actual. Everything is satisfactory. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day. Zip-a-dee-doo-dah, zip-a-dee-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Welcoming back Brer Rabbit today. We always knew that he had a way. He's had enough of moving on now. It's where he's born and bred in. The briar patch is where he's headed. Zip-a-dee-doo-dah, zip-a-dee-ay. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.